The following recording is a production of Kicking Out at 2 in conjunction with the Retromania Pro Wrestling Podcast Network and is intended for private use only. For more information, head on over to facebook.com/kickingoutat2 or our Twitter handle at kickingout2, along with searching Retromania with a W on any and all podcast platforms available to listen to archive shows such as this and all the great content of the Retromania Pro Wrestling Podcast Network. Evergreen content at your fingertips anytime at your listening pleasure. And with that being said, we thank you for listening and hope you enjoy the show. Draft day is upon us here on Kicking Out at 2. I'm Dave. This is Justin, and we are presenting you the WWF 1992 mock draft here as we approach the WWE draft coming up very shortly, the upcoming episodes of SmackDown and Raw. I thought it'd be fun to kind of... last year, Dennis and I did a 1998 draft with WWF and WCW, and I approached you with the idea, and you thought it would be a good idea to take a look at the 1992 roster. Explain your reasons behind why you chose 92 for this, and welcome to the program, of course.
Yeah, good to be back. I think the biggest reason I felt was, like, and again, maybe I'm not of the generation to be able to best categorize 1992 WWF, but I feel like when I look at that roster, that's like a murderer's row of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
What's the greatest Royal Rumble of all time? The 1992 Royal Rumble. Why? Because just about everybody in that Royal Rumble is a big time player, big time name, Hall of Famers, legends, etc., future legends.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think it's just, and I think it also coincides with in wrestling history, like with so many heavyweights, no pun intended, on that roster. It was at a time where clearly on the other side of the fence in WCW, that was a very lackluster roster, very lackluster product in general. Why? And you could argue because many of those guys, for whatever reason or another, went to the WWF to ply their trade. And, you know, I think the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about that is Ric Flair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they had like the best of everything in that roster, I feel like.
So
that's why I kind of felt like it was at the very end of that wrestling boom, the very end.
Yeah, that was the last year of the big boom. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when it was already kind of going down anyways, but as it was going down, the roster was actually better than it probably ever was.
Yeah.
And again, before things took a dive even for the WWF at that point. So again, I felt like it would be a good time in history to glean a modern approach in drafting separate rosters.
Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree with you there. If there's another year that I think matches up in terms of depth across the board with best of everything, I would have to go with 89.
Yeah, no,
and definitely. That was what I mean. Originally, I was thinking, oh, we'll do 1989, and the first picture that comes into my head when I think of that is the SummerSlam card of that year, and how, in my opinion, it's one of the more underrated SummerSlam events in history. Now, the second one in 89, I thought about maybe doing a watch along of that show because that's one I watched it last year from start to finish, and I was like, wow, like this is great, like it still holds up to this day.
Yeah.
But just the murderer's row in the WWF back then, the main event, Hogan and Beefcake against Savage and Zeus, Ultimate Warrior and Ric Flair, one of the more underrated matches on that show, the Rockers and Tito Santana against the model Rick Martel and the Rougeau brothers in a wild six-man tag team match, Demolition and Hacksaw Jim Duggan against Akeem Big Boss Man and Andre the Giant,
yes.
The Brainbusters and the Hart Foundation. I mean, they had they were lined up with just, you know, Dusty Rhodes was on that card. Roddy Piper made an appearance. I mean, if Ric Flair was on that show, it probably would have put it over the top. But
I feel like there's a lot of guys on that 92 roster that were there in 89 that were probably at their better or best in 89. But I think the blend of like that, of those guys on maybe on the way down and like the incoming guard of like Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, British Bulldog, you would argue is obviously a guy who was kind of going in that direction at that time.
Lex Even Undertaker.
Luger, Undertaker.
Yeah.
You had a lot of people that they had a
good foundation for the future.
It was an excellent transition pivot year in terms of the the roster makeup, whereas in 89 they were still winning championships.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And they were running with the crew they had, and they
yeah.
were adding pieces that were ready to play now.
Yep.
Whereas 1992 is like you still had so much value, probably more than they even really understood.
Mm-hmm.
But they were also like still, they were like actually building for the future.
Yeah.
These people that had even put in time for years that were there in 89. And Bret Hart was now a budding single star. Shawn Michaels was a budding single star.
Yep.
Whereas maybe Tito Santana is kind of on the way out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jake Roberts on the way out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Those types of things. So from that perspective, you had a lot of there was a lot of last outlaws from the territory days that were squeezing the last drops of their careers out in 1992, which in name value makes it, I think, again, a studded roster that's, to me, an optimal roster to draft from.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Let's get down to the guidelines, the rules, if you will. We kind of talked about this off air. First things first, we're going to go. So we're referencing the website's called thesmackdownhotel.com if you want to take a look. And it has the full roster for the year of 1992, but there's an option there in the space bar, which I found out before we clicked record. You pick the date, and it will give you the updated roster. So there was 96 guys total for the year of 92, but what we're doing here is we are considering that the upcoming WWE draft is taking place after WrestleMania. We are going to go back in time and mark the date of April the 6th, 1992.
So essentially pretend like we're getting in a time machine and we are hosting
Primetime Wrestling.
Primetime Wrestling on April 6th, 1992. And that's
the day after WrestleMania 8, and that is the draft.
Yep. That's essentially
And so happening. When we click on it, it gives us an updated version of that roster at that time of April 6th, 1992. 74 individuals were on this roster at that date and time.
And not all of them, to be clear, are wrestlers per se.
Yes.
There's
announcers, managers.
Managers, just non-wrestling person. Linda McMahon's on the roster for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's a variety of different folks that I think many people can verify were in the WWF on April 6th, 1992.
Yes. Yes. So we have that there. Due to the nature of the time period, and because he is on this roster here, off the bat, Hulk Hogan is going to be the one and only free agent.
Yep, yep. He's going to kind of possess the part-timer role, the Brock Lesnar, the Undertaker, the John Cena.
Yep.
He's going to bounce from show to show,
yep,
whenever he comes in and out. So we will both have the luxury of having Terry,
yes,
at our disposal.
Terry, brother Jack, dude. Telling all the lies on a weekly basis, either on Wrestling Challenge or Superstars. Justin will represent Superstars of Wrestling, and I will represent. Actually, in 92, I believe, was the first year they just called it WWF Superstars, because they lost a legal battle to someone else who owned the IP of Superstars of Wrestling, which is the reason why the Superstars catalog on Peacock on WWE Network, or it's, you know, soon to be the defunct WWE Network, only shows
from like 1992.
From 1992
forward, right?
Moving forward. So April of 92, right after WrestleMania, is when it was rebranded just, okay, Superstars. And
right,
if you notice too on Peacock, when you go back and watch an older show, and sometimes they do like their highlight packages of the matches that they preview, in the corner it'll be like 6 weeks ago on Superstars of Wrestling. They blur out the wrestling part.
Oh, okay.
And if you want, even the banners that hang over the ring,
they blur those out as well.
I remember seeing a scene where it was the video package for Hogan and Warrior at WrestleMania 6, and Hogan saved Warrior, or Warrior saved Hogan, one of the two, and it was on Superstars of Wrestling, and they had the banner blocked out on Peacock because somebody owns the IP address.
Yeah.
I don't know who this person is or if they've even done anything with it, but it's kind of interesting.
That's pretty funny.
I'm wondering if they'll ever try to settle with this individual so they can have the rights for that in the event they want to air the other content,
yeah,
so they don't have to go to the lengths of blurring out their,
yeah,
content.
Hey,
so,
they did it for Yeet, maybe.
Yeah, I know, right? They dropped some money
here
for that.
So.
But so Justin will represent Superstars, and I will represent Wrestling Challenge. Another Saturday weekend wrestling show where the majority of the storylines took place on those shows. the prime times, the All-American Wrestlings. Those shows were more or less recap shows with maybe like one or two exclusive matches to that program, but you saw a lot of recap from those shows.
I also like the idea of doing it now in, you know, 1992 or even earlier if we decided to, because this is pre-Monday Night Raw, where I think the wrestling that I know and grew up on was really from the era of Monday Night Raw, the episodic weekly formatted television show. Those shows like Superstars and Wrestling Challenge weren't quite of that elk. We hadn't arrived, as far as I understand, in the world of, you know, more soap opera-y television that Raw kind of revolutionized.
It's a different format, for sure.
It's just a different show. Like, that show didn't, as again, I don't understand. I probably am not able to.
Superstars and Wrestling Challenge were more, you saw, it was about highlighting the talent against an enhancement talent, or a jobber, as they call them, and then you might have like the occasional main event matchup on that show. And then Raw, as it evolved, was more featured matchups with talent. You saw the occasional.
It was a destination program in this, in the sense that it was something that hadn't been done up until that point. And to me, as a younger individual, that seems almost mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
It's like people now, and I remember talking, this is a little off the rails. It's like the fact, like, someone told me this, and it's not something I hadn't heard before, but I just came across it the other day once again. Our generation, the millennial generation, is the last generation in human history that will remember a time in life before the internet.
Yeah.
So, to give the comparison to this, future generations after ours don't remember a world where there wasn't an internet.
Yeah.
For me, so I'm going back to this, for me, I don't really remember a world where there wasn't a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
While I was alive for a few years before that, my conscience doesn't recall absorbing wrestling in the way it was presented when you were younger.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't understand it from that perspective. To even know that Raw was revolutionary, it was a revolutionary program, like you would probably be able to.
Because you thought it was more standard operating procedure. Yeah, it was. Yeah, exactly.
So that's why, going back to the premise, doing a draft and taking the kind of the shell of what we know rosters and wrestling shows to look like and kind of putting it to 1992 a little bit, I think is an appealing little fun thing to try.
Yeah, I think it is too. So Hulk Hogan, a free agent. You're Superstars. I'm Wrestling Challenge. We're having this draft on Primetime Wrestling. Another guideline we have is tag teams. We have the option of splitting up a tag team, or we have the option of drafting a tag team as a whole. That's up to us. Mm-hmm. If we decide, one of us decides we only want Brian Knobbs from the Nasty Boys, then that's who we get. Or if we say, I'm taking the Nasty Boys with Jimmy Hart. So, for instance, Jimmy Hart's one who, if you look at the roster here, he's got multiple clients or people that he represents. And so if we were to draft a Jimmy Hart, he would go along with either a tag team like the Nasty Boys or even the Mountie. If we said,
he will now be associated with those other
clients. Correct. So he will. So once he goes with that individual or clients, then he's no longer associated with the others on the other show. He can't bounce back and forth.
Exactly.
So for like Road Warriors, if I say I'm picking the Road Warriors with Paul Ellering, then that's my pick. Now, here's one. Let's say there's we didn't really establish this. This might go down the rabbit hole a little too far, but just we're throwing it out there before we get started. Let's say I wanted to pick Road Warrior Hawk with Paul Ellering. Is that allowed?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
But I think we should probably draw the line, and maybe you wouldn't have to draw the line, but what about, do we draw the line at, like, you can't make Paul Ellering the manager of someone he's never managed before?
Yeah, we don't do that. Yeah.
In a pick.
Yeah, we don't do that. Yeah, we don't do that. We're trying to keep up as real time as possible, or at least from that time period as possible. Another rule we have for the for this mock draft is that we are allowed to steal one draft pick from the other during the actual portion of the draft. So if Justin decides he's going to draft Bret Hart, I have the opportunity to steal that person. and Justin can steal somebody else from me. Once that person has been stolen, they can't be stolen back. Otherwise, it'd be just one big giant pissing match. And trades. We can have unlimited trades with each other, but that will take place at the end of the draft. Now, we're going to start with 25 picks each. This is a 74-person roster, so we're going to start with 25 picks each. If we feel that it warrants adding additional draft picks, we will determine that during the course of this.
Just having not counted it out, like we said, there's a noticeable amount of people who aren't actual wrestlers that make up the 74. So I could almost maybe just guesstimate that of the 74, there's probably, let's just say, 15 or 20 people who aren't actual active wrestlers.
Yeah.
So 25, I feel like, is probably a safe number that will take up the majority.
So with that being said, now that you brought that up, do you want to unofficially pick announcers to call Superstars in Wrestling Challenge that we won't count as those picks? So like we can come to like an agreement. So let's, I'm thinking, so out of the pool here, we have Gorilla Monsoon, Bobby Heenan, Vince McMahon.
But hold on, did the shows already have different announcers?
To the best of my recollection, they did. If I recall, I believe Superstars had Vince McMahon and Mr. Perfect at one point, and Wrestling Challenge I think was Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon.
Okay.
We
could just start with that. I mean, else was on 92 that was theoretically not with Mr. Perfect, when it wasn't Mr. Perfect on Superstars?
It would later become Bobby Heenan. I think Bobby Heenan double dipped at that point when Perfect, towards the end of the year, when Perfect became an active member of the roster.
WrestleMania season.
I think it was Perfect.
Okay, then let's just go with that.
Okay, so would Perfect be, because he was also associated with Ric Flair, would Perfect...
He would still be available, I think, to be drafted.
To be drafted?
To be drafted as a manager.
So what happens if he's...
Well, actually, you could draft him as a wrestler, I would say.
But if... All right, so if he was the announcer on Superstars, and if I'm Wrestling Challenge, I can draft him as a wrestler, even though he's the announcer on Superstars?
I would say, just to make it easier, that wouldn't take him away from being an announcer. He's a wrestler on one show, and he's an announcer on another.
Okay.
I think probably just the easiest way to go about it.
Okay. All right, if I decided I wanted to do that.
Right.
So, to the best of my recollection, I believe it was Vince... let me just, I'll Google that actually. Let me Google that real quick. Sorry about that for the delay. Superstars. Announcers. 1992.
I'm just sitting on my board here, putting my Superstars roster page together.
Sorry for the radio silence there, so, folks.
So
Vince McMahon. I know Bobby Heenan had a little bit towards the end of the year. Mr. Perfect was one. I mean, I guess we could put Lord Alfred Hayes if we wanted to do Lord Alfred Hayes and Vince and leave Perfect open just as a wrestler / executive consultant.
I'll take Lord Alfred. All right, so
Vince and Lord Alfred Hayes are going to represent Superstars, and I'll have Gorilla and Bobby the Brain Heenan for Wrestling Challenge. Anything else we need to add to the guidelines of this draft here?
No, I think the next order of business is probably to decide who's going to pick first.
You know what?
A coin toss or a...
I'll be a gentleman here, and since you're visiting, I will allow you to. I will allow you the first pick in the WWF 1992 mock draft underway here on Kicking Out at 2.
And let's also set a clock too. Let's give each other 30 seconds per pick, just because.
All right, I'll set a timer.
Yeah,
I'll set a timer on my iPhone here. So 30-second time. So let's see here.
So. If you've set the clock.
I will set it.
I have my pick, but I'll let you set the clock anyways.
All right. I am setting the clock right now. We're at 28 seconds and counting.
For the first pick in the 1992 WWF draft, Superstars selects the Intercontinental Champion, Bret the Hitman.
Okay. All right. Not surprised by that pick. I like that pick. Bret Hart had a good year in 92. This was the year where it was it was either put up or shut up as a singles wrestler, in my opinion. Before he and time is up here on this 30 seconds. But yeah, Bret Hart was Intercontinental Champion at WrestleMania. He beat Roddy Piper for the Intercontinental Championship. He would go on to have that classic with the British Bulldog at SummerSlam. And then not long after that would capture the WWF Championship from the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Now, before we continue and I make my first pick, it bears mentioning that at the time, if we're going by the date, April the 6th, 1992, the day after WrestleMania 8, Bret Hart won the Intercontinental Championship. So you're also drafting the Intercontinental Championship, yes, as well.
Yep.
So that also means that the other champions in the WWF at that time, Randy Savage was the WWF champion, and Money Incorporated of the Million Dollar Man and IRS were the tag team champions. The titles will go with that individual. Yes. Now, to make this a little fun here, we have the option, we talked about this off air, but bears mentioning that we can create or introduce a championship from another organization that was already active at that time. So, for instance,
we could also introduce like a title from a different era too.
Yes, or yeah, a title from a different era. So, if we wanted to introduce
a title,
yeah, no, correct, I mean? Correct. So, a title that was active at some point in wrestling. So, yes. For instance, if you wanted to rechristen the WCW United States Tag Team Titles and turn them into the WWF United States Tag Team Titles,
yes,
to have your own tag team champions, that's fine.
Yes.
As well as I could take the WCW Television Championship,
mm-hmm,
and or at the time I believe it was the NWA Television Championship, if I'm not, yep, maybe it was WCW. It was WCW, yeah, WCW TV title, and I can rechristen it the WWF, yeah, Television Championship. Yep. So we have the option of doing that. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, but we have the option of doing that as a part of this draft.
Only three titles. We've got two shows. You know, we're going to want to build our rosters to have some semblance of structure in terms of divisions and what they're competing for. And
yeah,
all that matters. And as we approach the dawn of the new minute, you are on the clock for your first pick for Wrestling Challenge.
All right, my first pick for Wrestling Challenge. I'm going to go with the actual WWF champion himself. I'm going to go with the Macho Man Randy Savage as my first pick.
Okay.
Savage had that very underrated match with Ric Flair at WrestleMania, that whole she was mine before she was yours angle. I loved it. This was probably the last year that Savage was a real focal point of the programming at the time because, like you said, they were building a foundation for the future, mm-hmm, and Savage wasn't necessarily a part of that plan. But at the same time, bears mentioning, Hogan left the WWF after WrestleMania 8, took a little hiatus, and they needed somebody to kind of bridge that gap, if you will.
Yep.
And Savage was that guy.
Absolutely. To me, that's the best match on that show, WrestleMania 8, if we're going to keep
going. You think it's better than the Bret Piper match? Yeah. Really?
I absolutely do.
Okay.
I remember the first time watching WrestleMania 8, wasn't it 1992? It was probably a few years later. But just there was just so much drama in that match.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Bret and Piper was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I'll hold that up against many a WrestleMania match. But before, like as I've said probably on the show before there was Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania, it was the Macho Man.
Yep.
And that guy was putting out bangers before bangers were a thing.
Yep.
And, you know, he had everything. So, yeah, great pick.
All right, let me just lock it in here. My first pick, Macho Man WWF champion. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You just got a little piece. I want the whole thing, Ric Flair, uh-huh. All right, so that's in. Macho Man, WWF champ. You got Bret Hart, the Intercontinental Champion. Let's move on. You have the second pick for Superstars of Wrestling. So I'm going to put you on the clock right now.
Well, we just got off the phone. I've let him know he is on his way to Superstars. And with him, he is bringing his real world championship.
Ric
Flair is the second pick of WWF Superstars in the 1992 draft.
So are you making that an official title that's going to be defended regularly on Superstars?
If Ric Flair can make it an official title, that's up to him. But I feel pretty good with the Intercontinental title being top banana, to be very honest.
I'm not all right.
But if Ric Flair, I invite Ric Flair to stick it to Jim Hurd even more, bring the title, man.
All right. Okay, what's more like
important
it.
Than the title is Ric Flair.
I like it. Okay. Play. So Ric Flair, real world champion. I like it. That was, I've said it before, and it bears repeating. I'm going to say this a lot probably, but that was the first time as a wrestling fan that I saw that crossover
right.
with the WCW, NWA, something that represented them on the WWF programming with him bringing the belt. And I was the coolest wrestling fan out of the bunch at school in elementary school because nobody knew who Ric Flair was because nobody read the After mags like I did. Mm-hmm. And then seeing, oh, he's Nature Boy Ric Flair. He's the NWA World Champion, the leader of the Four Horsemen, you know. Like, and then, of course, my fantasy brain, you know, was going off at that time of, oh, is the Four Horsemen going to come over? Are we going to get Arn and Tully? And, yeah, right. and, you know, Luger was already there at the time. Are we going to have Luger? Like I kind of thought that Luger and Flair would have been, like, a good association on television at that time because of their association in WCW as members of the Horsemen. So Flair, real world champion. I like it. I definitely like it. All right. My pick, the second pick for wrestling challenge. I'm going for someone that I'm building the future around. Okay. I don't like to use this term pillars, but one of the foundations, one of the flagships, okay. as I'd like to put it. I'm going with Shawn Michaels with Sensational Sherry.
Okay.
So I'm taking Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid, with Scary Sherry.
Good call. Good call. Okay.
And in my fantasy, in this realm, in this universe, if you will, Shawn ain't dumping Sherry as quickly as he did the first. I thought there was some mileage. Now, looking back on it now, I thought there was more mileage with Shawn and Sherry together than they were apart.
Oh,
I thought after Shawn got rid of her that Sherry was pretty much done for at that point.
Right.
You know, but with the time they did have together, it was a great association.
Of course. So you got Shawn Michaels.
I do.
That was honestly the pick I wanted to make next.
Yeah. So. Okay. Who knows? You might steal him from me. We'll see what happens. Maybe. And if you steal him, then you're stealing Sherry too, because it's the whole pick. So
that's fair.
I just to keep that out there.
That's fair. I gotta get my ducks in a row here.
All right, let me put you. I'm gonna put you on the clock now.
Yep.
So you got 30 seconds to figure out who's rounding out number three.
I'm gonna go with the Undertaker and Paul Bearer.
Ooh. Okay. All right. I like it.
Superstars.
Undertaker and Paul Bearer. That is not a bad pick there.
Off of beating Jake the Snake Roberts at WrestleMania 8. Having obviously lost the WWF Championship months earlier in somewhat controversial fashion, I feel like I have a. You probably don't have to set the alarm every time we do this, but we just, you know, got our watches.
Okay. All right.
I think I got a guy that he might make something of himself. This kid.
Okay. So all
I'm
right.
I'm gonna. I'm gonna see what this Undertaker kid is made of.
Okay. All right, fair enough. For my next pick in the 1992 WWF mock draft, I am going to be choosing a tag team.
Okay.
Now, who that tag team is, that's up for debate right now because I'm looking at the pool here. Now, do I go with the champions, Money Incorporated, Teddy Biasi and Erwin R. Scheister?
Don't reveal too much of your strategy.
No. I'm just throwing it out there.
This is brand warfare.
Yeah, that's true.
I have my war room on the other end here.
Yeah.
That's giving me all my information.
Okay. All right. with that being said, they're favorites of mine. I'm going to go with the Road Warriors and Paul Ellering.
Okay.
As my pick for the wrestling challenge. So LOD with Paul Ellering. If he wants to bring the dummy, that's fine too.
Rocco
might not be an official pick, but Rocco's He's like the handkerchief in the suit jacket pocket.
Okay, that's fair. That's a good pick. That's in many ways a walking title of sorts.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're a face of my tag team division.
Yeah.
I need to establish
like beating a champion.
Right now, Savage is my champion, and Shawn Michaels is building my future, and the Legion of Doom are the face of my tag team division. So
that is absolutely
where I'm at right now.
And having said that, I have no choice but to go with Money Inc.
Money Inc. Okay, that's
they
fair.
They bring the dollars. They bring the gold.
Yep.
I'm gonna bring Jimmy Hart and his.
Okay,
his
so Jimmy Hart with Money Incorporated. All right.
Three of my four picks, I'm rocking gold.
If you okay.
Want to say, the urn's got some gold in it too.
All right, look at that.
I'm just dripping in gold.
All right, so
Money Inc. with Jimmy Hart is the WWF Tag Team Champions. But don't get me wrong, we can certainly collaborate and book.
Yeah, we might
cross-brand promotional Forbidden Door events.
Yes,
where Money Inc. can face, the Legion of Doom.
Yes,
and who knows? Maybe I'll let you put them. We can put over those football spike kids.
Okay, fair enough. My next pick in the 1992 mock WWF draft, Wrestling Challenge selects Sid Justice. Psycho Sid. I got my monster.
Sid Justice, not Psycho Sid.
Well, if you recall, Gorilla Monsoon had referenced him as Psycho Sid on the way to the ring at WrestleMania 8. Bobby Heenan was like, "Don't say that. He could, he might hear you, Monsoon."
That's right.
So, okay. That was the early
Booker,
stage.
You can definitely repackage his character a little bit. You can you're within your bounds to do such a thing.
Okay.
So,
thank you for that blessing.
I mean, hey, it's your show. You could do whatever you want,
I like to think of it as our show. You are a big collaborator here as well.
No, your show as in Wrestling Challenge.
Okay.
Show.
Okay.
This is your roster. These are the guys you're getting ready to go to battle.
Fair enough.
So that was your fourth pick, right?
That was my you are correct. Fourth pick. So you are up with the fifth pick in the 1992 WWF mock draft.
With the fifth pick, I am going have to select. This one was a hard one because it's light on tag teams, but I'm gonna build to the future a little bit. Actually, no, he's not even here, is he? Nope, never mind. He was on another 1992 roster.
Okay.
But since we're running a little bit light on time here before my pick gets lost, I'm going to go with the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
A newly returned Ultimate Warrior.
All right, yeah.
The number five pick.
All right. I like that pick. He wasn't long for the world of the WWF in 1992.
I'll see if I can rein him in. I'll see what I can do.
And actually, it's funny that, I say that because my last pick, Sid Justice, he left not long after WrestleMania 8.
Yeah, exactly. We got some big egos. This is a very hard job.
And if I remember the story correctly, I think it had to do with Warrior. I think there was something. It was a combination of
we just pulled a Tony Khan.
Yeah,
you got Sid on your side, on your show on your night. I got Warrior on my side, and we were massaging these egos.
There we go. So who's going to use the real glass?
It's certainly not going to be the Ultimate one.
No,
that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe Dylan McKay. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean Jack Perry. Excuse me. That's an old 90s 90210 reference for those of you youngins out there. So I'm up.
Yeah,
and with that being said, I'm taking another pick to build towards the future. And it might be close to the heartstrings for you, but I'm choosing Owen Hart.
I thought you might do that.
I am choosing Owen Hart.
Fair enough.
I'm going to give Owen the push he should have had.
In 1992. Fair enough. Okay.
With the blue, he's not gonna wear that high energy bullshit. He's gonna wear like the blue singlet that with the rocket logo on it. He was almost like I actually kind of liked that. I almost preferred that over the short black one that he used to have for a while. Although it grew on me, but I liked that little blue singlet that he had with the blue jacket. It was a different take on the Bret Hart appearance, if you will. Okay. But he wasn't long. I mean, 1992 was not a great year for him. He was, in a tag team at the Anvil at one point. Then he had a match with Skinner at WrestleMania for 9 seconds, ate some of his chewing tobacco, and then he wasn't really – I think he got hurt not long after that, and he was out for the remainder of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't resurface until till 93. Maybe, or right. late 92. No, he would resurface late 92 because then he would tag up with Coco Beware with high energy, as Coco would like to call it.
Yeah, you could have picked them as a team.
I could have, but you know what? I'm not a big Coco Beware guy.
That didn't cross my mind until you picked Owen, actually, so I can't.
I still don't think he should have been in the Hall of Fame, but that's the whole.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Yeah.
So, with my next pick, make sure I have it here correct.
You want number six, right?
Number six. I'm going to go with the Nasty Boys.
All right.
I think I can turn these guys into some baby faces. So I'm going to go with the Nasty Boys.
Okay. All right. I like that. I like that. It's not going to take long for me to come up with this next pick, but I am choosing Mr. Perfect.
Good call.
Mr. Perfect. He's one of those utility players that he could rock the mid-card and really establish the mid-card, or he could be challenging Randy Savage for the WWF Championship. Or he could be in a makeshift tag team with the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, a little teacher versus teacher and student kind of thing.
Okay.
And so, yeah, Mr. Perfect, he's on my list. He's the sixth pick for Wrestling Challenge.
All right. All right. Okay. Let me see here what I'm thinking. All right. So, you know what? It's 1992. We are thinking expansion. We are thinking breaking barriers. It's not just the United States. This is the World Wrestling Federation.
Ooh.
And we need to think about the world. And with this pick, I feel he is a great character that is going to spearhead that expansion. Because I think there's a big show coming up in 1992 that he's going to sell tickets for. So I'm going to go with Davey Boy Smith.
I thought you were going to.
He's going to be the seventh pick for WWF Superstars.
Okay. All right. I like that.
He's got future written on him. He's got experience at the same time.
Yep.
He's got a whole mess of potential that I can hopefully wrangle in and make something of.
Okay.
So the British Bulldog is the seventh pick for WWF Superstars.
All right. All right. And the seventh pick for Wrestling Challenge, I'm going to go with another tag team. I'm going to go with the Natural Disasters as heels. I didn't like them as baby faces. Okay. So I'm going to go with Earthquake and Typhoon.
Very good.
Who knows? Maybe they'll find another manager to guide their career. Okay. But, Earthquake and Typhoon as heels, Natural Disasters on Wrestling Challenge.
All right. All right. I like that. Very good.
Who do you got next? You are number eight.
Number eight, the eighth pick.
The eighth pick in the 1992 WWF Mock Draft Superstars of Wrestling selects
I am going to pick No, I'm not going to pick that. I could probably get him later. Let's go with a low-key favorite of mine. We're going to go with Tatanka.
Oh, I was just going to pick him. Tatanka. Oh, man, I had him next. Oh, I like that. Okay. I was just going to pick him. Damn, that's a good pick. Right. I'm surprised you didn't pick him sooner. We might be trading.
Okay.
We might be trading. But you know what? While we're on, these guys got a little bit of experience, and they also have a little bit of youth behind them as well. I think that they would match up pretty well with the Road Warriors, but I'm going to go with Samu and Fatu, the Head Shrinkers, is my next pick for the tag team division. My tag team division is full of beef right now. Natural Disasters, Head Shrinkers, and the Road Warriors with Paul Ellering.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe we let this man sit so far on this draft.
Who are we talking here?
The ninth pick.
Oh, no.
WWF Superstars selects Rowdy Roddy Piper.
That's who I'm looking at right now. Okay. Rowdy Roddy Piper. Not bad.
Okay.
That's not bad.
I can envision some Flair and Piper cards.
Okay.
Flair and Brett return matches.
Well, there's another guy that has sat pretty far down the trough here that I'm choosing for my ninth pick, and that is Lex Luger.
Lex Luger. See, I was thinking Lex, but then I was like, I already got Warrior, and they're kind of both check the same box a little
yeah.
bit.
I don't have, I mean,
I almost wanted to pack him on anyways, but
yeah, I don't have a body guy. I mean, Sid's the monster, but the body guy at the same time. So, but right. Luger kind of has that, that body guy physique. So, and he's interchangeable as a heel or as a baby face.
Absolutely.
So
with my 10th pick, I will be selecting the Bushwhack.
Ooh, Luke and Butch.
Get a Bushwhackers Mania movement.
Okay.
Become tag team champions. I'm really feeling it. I feel okay. like there's a groundswell for Luke and Butch.
Okay.
To unseat the corporate greed of Money Inc. and bring the tag team titles to the people.
Okay. All right. That's not a bad pick there. For my next pick. In the 1992 mock draft, Wrestling Challenge selects the model Rick Martel.
That is a
the model Rick Martel. The model Rick Martel is in my universe is going to be one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time. At some point, I know he's a property of Superstars of Wrestling, but you know those interpromotional. Yeah, we could see. The model Absolutely. Bringing the title back home. That's one guy that not only am I surprised he's not currently in the WWE Hall of Fame, but he just, to me, during that era, he screamed like Intercontinental Championship material mm-hmm. with the likes of, you know, Mr. Perfect and Bret the Hitman Hart and Shawn Michaels and all Davey Boy and eventually Razor Ramon, you know. He just screamed that. I'm so surprised he didn't have that. That opportunity. I mean, well, I guess you could say he did because he wrestled. He was the last two in that battle royal with Razor Ramon when Razor won the first his first Intercontinental Championship
right.
from New Haven, Connecticut, that's by right. the way. So that's Wrestling Challenge's 10th pick, the model Rick Martel.
I like it. That's a good one. With the 11th pick, Superstars is looking for a voice, a face, a recognizable figure. One that is going to appeal to the sons and mothers and fathers of the household that's going to make watching Superstars a family gathering.
Oh, boy.
And no better man to welcome the world into the homes than Mean Gene Okerlund.
Ooh. All right.
The voice of WWF.
You took Mean Gene from me.
Mean Gene Okerlund.
Okay.
Coming to WWF Superstars with his hotline. We're going to generate buzz. He's going to get his commission. But at the end of the day, as big a name, arguably, as anybody in wrestling up until that time in terms of just name value and recognition, what's the guy's name from Monday Night Football? Not Howard Cosell.
Al Michaels.
No, from like the Howard Cosell time. Don Meredith. I don't know why I think of Don Meredith when I think of Mean Gene.
Really?
But again, just reliable.
Okay.
That is, he's like Walter Cronkite. You just believe in what this man says.
Well, that's because
you grew up on him.
That inspired me with my next pick then, because since, you know, I totally forgot about Mean Gene. You know, a good stick man, reliable. But if I'm going towards the future, I'm going to have to go with Sean Mooney.
Yeah. I like it.
Sean Mooney. Who actually is still
fucking
in
legend.
Yes, and still in the wrestling media. Or not in the wrestling, but in media in general. Mm-hmm. I think he's a local newscaster in the New York area.
That sounds about right.
If I'm not mistaken, he does the local
and
news.
He looks good for his age, too. You would hard to believe that, like, going in 92, that's over 30 years ago.
Yeah. And he's done some appearances for WWE in more recent. Yeah. Like yeah. He was. I think he was on the Edge and Christian show at one point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so. Sean Mooney will be my stick man. He'll be the one, you know, getting all the scoops and
absolutely.
And
you know, Mooney's a good one.
Yeah,
I like it. Very good.
Didn't have him earmarked in my draft, but you know, since you took Mean Gene, I was like, I got to find somebody to be the one that they revert to backstage. So, who you got next for number 12?
Number 12. This is going to be another out of the world pick. I have no eloquent way to set this up, but I am going to acquire the services of the First Lady of Wrestling, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I have Randy Savage as the champion.
So it's going to be very difficult.
So, well, I mean, you could look at it like this. Maybe she was Flair's before she was Randy's.
I was kind of trying to tongue twist that in.
Yeah.
I was stepping over myself in my brain.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe she was Rick's before she was Randy's, you know?
We'll find out.
Might be able to find that out. You know what? Another reason to inspire me with this next pick. I said it earlier. Maybe the natural disasters will find someone to manage them and give them, you know, the proper guidance that they need and keep them as heels. Because, like I said, I was not a fan of babyface natural disasters. I'm going with Mr. Fuji.
That's a good one.
Mr. Fuji.
I like that.
Yeah, Mr. Fuji. Yeah, Ricky Steamboat, you have no girlfriend. I remember seeing that once on an old Saturday Night's Main Event, and it tickled me, as our good friend Connie would say. So we're at number 13 here, and we're rolling along pretty well. I'm digging it.
All right, is it my 13th pick?
Yes, you are the 13th pick.
My 13th pick goes by the name of VIR. GIO.
Rest in peace. Yes. Meat Sauce Mafia just recently passed away, unfortunately. Virgil, okay. VAR.
Potential for maybe a Money Inc. reunion. Potential for some more clashes with his former boss, the Million Dollar Man. An athletic and somewhat underdog charisma that he presented at that time.
He was too legit to quit.
Yes, and I don't know. I could see a fantastic episode of Superstars being main evented by Brett the Hitman Hart defending his Intercontinental Championship.
You know what? It's funny that you say that because I just...
3 Kid, 1983.
No, but it's funny that you say that. I was scrolling through Twitter this morning and there's a page that I follow. It's like they show clips of like old matches. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called. I think it's called Grapple Clips or something. Anyways, there was a video of Bret Hart and Virgil on an episode of Superstars when Bret Hart first won the WWF Championship in the fall of 92. It's either Superstars, Wrestling Challenge, one of the two. But Bret and Virgil had like this weird handshake, like almost like something that they might have done behind the scenes where it was like shake, and then they put the hands together, and then they do some sort of like, you know, slap the hand, fist bump kind of thing. Like, and then they started the match.
Okay.
So it was presented like Bret was his fighting champion, and he was going to fight anybody, and Virgil was pretty far down the trough at that point. I like that pick. That's not a bad pick at all. And with that being said, my next pick at number 13, Wrestling Challenge has selected the Texas Tornado, Kerry Von Erich.
Good pick.
I think, you know, after after watching the Iron Claw recently, I think Kerry needs some redemption in the WWF. His demons will not get the best of him, and he will succeed further than the Intercontinental Championship.
We're all rooting for you, Kerry.
Yep.
Very good, very good. Okay, very good. As we move forward here with the 14th pick, in Superstars, we obviously have such revered legends like Ric Flair.
Yep.
And traveled hands like the Million Dollar Man. Bret Hart, our Intercontinental Champion, was born into the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
And while we build for the future, we're going to honor the past and embrace that past in a way to leave this place better than we left it, that we call Superstars. And the man that is going to help do that for us, the man that is going to endorse the future for us, is none other than the man who did maybe the ultimate endorsement. We're going to select, with the 14th pick, the eighth wonder of the world,
Andre the Giant.
He's going to be the Babe Ruth of WWF Superstars.
Now, at this time, I believe Andre, even though he was under contract and a member of the active roster, even though he wasn't very active, didn't see him on WWF programming at this time.
for sure, we're going to respect the boss's wishes of when he wants to come to work and not. We're going to lean on him for his wisdom and his advice. This is a man that was trained by Edward Carpentier, who traveled through France and Montreal and all through the territories all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Who the sight of his passport could make Mark Henry cry.
That's right, I forgot about that.
This is this was the GOAT before there was even such conversations.
Yes.
About Flair and Hogan and Cena and this guy.
Yeah.
That guy is Andre the Giant. While I have a very limited Andre the Giant at my disposal here, I'm going to, in somewhat of a, not just a Yoda role, but he's going to be somewhat of an ambassador for WWF Superstars, the Make-A-Wishes. And all of those things.
Okay.
Andre, I hope you're up for the task.
And he might make an appearance occasionally in a battle royal if he's healthy enough or
absolutely. You know what? We're gonna create a battle royal at Superstars Mania, and we're gonna name it the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Oh, that's a great idea. I've never heard of that before.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of those things I'm gonna
Superstars
get
Mania.
From. Yes, it's Superstars Mania. It's gonna be the sports entertainment spectacular.
Oh wow. Okay.
Of WWF.
Well, then I might just do a Saturday Night's Wrestling Challenge then, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, if it's on Saturday, mine will be on Sunday.
Yeah, we can make it work. Yeah, can make a weekend out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, you know? It's big.
Yeah. It's a big...
It's bold, but I think we can
do it. I think we can coexist. We can work together. All right. That was
14, so you're on your 14th pick. Because that was
14. Yes, you're correct. And with the 14th pick, I'm choosing someone who can be somewhat of a utility player. At least in my opinion, someone that could be a heel or could be a babyface, could work in the mid card, or could, you know, dance in the main event. I'm going with the Big Boss Man.
Ooh, I like that.
From big Cobb brother. County, Georgia.
I like that.
Yes.
Obviously a low-key big man.
Yes.
In wrestling history.
Glad yes.
Glad that he got his flowers when he did. Good pick.
Very yes.
Good pick.
And he's one of those that... They put him in the Hall of Fame a number of years ago, and I was like, really? I'm like, what kind of Hall of Fame career did he have? But looking back and watching a lot of older stuff as I do, especially for this podcast, man, he was fucking popular as all hell. Like, you could argue he was, like, in the top, you know, as a babyface.
Yeah.
In the top of the food, you know, at might the very near top.
For the WWF championship.
I mean, he worked with Hogan a lot early on, and he was a big part of that whole Mega Power split with him and Akeem against the Mega Powers.
Mm-hmm.
But even as a babyface, the stuff he was doing with Mr. Perfect at that WrestleMania that year in 91, WrestleMania 7. I mean, just the jailhouse match with the Mountie. I mean, just some really good stuff from the Boss Man. The crowd was, like, super into him. He was like the... I wouldn't say, like, the poor man's Dusty Rhodes, but, like, he had very, like... middle class common man features that a lot of people could relate to when he was a baby face.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Big Boss.
That kind of inspired me to change my pick as I had it penciled in.
Okay.
I had to erase it magically on my phone here. And I think this pick here is going to have a little bit of a political motivation
too. All right.
We are well aware of this man's history with our man, Hulk Hogan. And if it entices our brother Terry to make appearances in Superstars of Wrestling, or excuse me, Superstars,
yes,
then I will be enlisting in the services of Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake.
Or as Zeus would say, Beefcake Barber!
Yep, I will. I think someone who we can look back, point, and laugh at him now, but was certainly probably a bigger star than I think we want to give him credit for.
Yes. Oh, I agree.
Not just because of the association with Hogan, but the guy had some chops in terms of being able to, you know, light a crowd up a little bit, not necessarily as a
people
wrestler,
used to get fired up about him cutting somebody's hair.
Yeah. You know, just, you know, the energy he would bring when his music hit and when the cheers came out, like, that's something.
His look, too. Like, he had this really, like...
There was a flamboyance and a colorfulness to him. That's a little bit 80s, and we're in 1992 here, but I think
it was still it was still acceptable in that time. Yeah, it wasn't, you know.
I think there's a place for it on a card on a given night.
Yep.
And I think Brutus is gonna do well in that role.
Okay, I like that pick. Yeah, Brutus is
better and experienced.
Brutus is a good pick. Now, my next pick is inspired. Well, it's not really inspired, but the intentions behind my next pick is someone that is, I guess you can say utility player, but someone that I think deserves more than that. And I'm going to go with El Matador, Tito Santana. I think...
never going to go wrong picking Tito Santana.
Even though I wasn't a fan of the El Matador persona, Tito could wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason why he was picked to be in the opening match of WrestleMania, because of the very first WrestleMania, because of his skill. And I go back, and if there's a match you ought to go out and watch, Tito Santana, Mr. Perfect, Saturday night's main event, July of 1990. Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's probably the best Tito Santana match I've ever watched. I mean, he would have been... Yeah, just go back and watch that. Okay. It was an unbelievable match. Unbelievable match. And that was heading into SummerSlam that year, and I believe it was advertised Perfect and Beefcake, stemming from their issues at WrestleMania. Then Beefcake got hurt in the actual parasailing accident and almost died, and that's where they brought in Kerry Von Erich with the surprise. But I would have loved to have seen the Tito Mr. Perfect match at that SummerSlam. Okay. And maybe Tito getting the best of Perfect this time around, and Tito's the one that gets the surprise win, and they finally give him his flowers, because he was pretty much the jobber to the stars, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know? So, I got Tito on my list here. I want to give him his just due in my universe on Wrestling Challenge. He's going to be a guy that's going to... He's not just going to be the enhancement talent to the stars. He's going to have a meaningful role. Even if he sheds the El Matador character and just goes back to being Tito Santana. So, you have the 16th pick, my friend. So, the floor is yours.
This may... you will have to give me clarification on this if this pick can be correct based on the day that we're drafting this roster from.
Okay.
The Triangle of Terror. Is that still a thing on April 6, 1992?
No.
They were not, right.
Slaughter was a babyface. Yeah, he wrestled in that 8-man tag.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. Never mind. And I don't want them. I renounce the Triangle of Terror.
Okay.
But I do need a tag team. And the pickings are slim as far as tag teams are concerned.
I mean, there's also, you can take guys and turn them into a tag team, too. That's true. Not, you know.
I certainly just want a nice foundation of some tag teams. Mm-hmm. The current tag teams that I have are Money Inc., the Nasty Boys, and the Bushwhackers. So that kind of gets you, like, Bushwhackers are baby faces. Money Inc.'s heel. Nasties are heel, but they can also be baby faces.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Beverly Brothers.
Okay, Bo and Blake.
With the Genius.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Let's take him.
Yeah, you Let's can. Yeah. Him. Beverly yep. Brothers and Genius.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Boom.
Absolutely.
Like my core four of tag teams.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's only really seven tag. There was seven tag teams at this time on the roster. So, yeah, we're mismatched on tag teams, but that's all right, because
your promotion is going to look different than mine.
Yeah. It'll be a different world. And that is A-okay with me. So we are looking at, let's see here, 16? Okay. You know what? I need somewhat of a monster to... I need not necessarily a supernatural, but I guess you can say a supernatural. Somewhat of a monster. This individual is going to have a better shelf life than he did back in 1992. And I'm going with Papa Shango.
Ooh.
As my 16th pick in this for Wrestling Challenge.
That's a good one.
People want to say that that character was stupid and hokey, but man, in 1992, when I was a kid, when I saw him put that curse on the Ultimate Warrior, and the Ultimate Warrior threw up, and he had the abdominal pains, and, you know, that to me, like, I didn't think that was real, but I was like, oh my God, like, you never saw anybody like that at that time, like, right, with a voodoo character, you know? And I think it's something that concept could be explored in the current wrestling today.
Definitely.
I think so.
I think we're sort of seeing that in respects to, or have seen some of that in a modern form with the different iterations of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And what may
that's fair enough.
Coming with Uncle Howdy.
Yeah, and, that's fair enough.
You know, all of that. So I think there's some line you can draw in that respect.
Okay.
But, again, that was something that people still talk about to this day
because yeah.
of how much of an impression it left.
Yep.
With the 17th pick, I'm going to take, you know, we got the Superstars Performance Center, you know, where we train the best and youngest. We're also, we're going to introduce Lucha before Paul Heyman can get his hands on someone.
Oh!
And we're going to hire Conan.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he was under the Max Moon persona. But it says here Conan on this roster, so I don't,
it says here.
I don't remember.
Either way, I've got a nice conduit to the Mexico promotions through my man Conan.
Okay.
So, and again, as a younger and still very accomplished star of Lucha, he's going to bring a whole different flavor.
Okay.
To Superstars.
Interesting. All right. With my next pick in the WWF mock draft, Wrestling Challenge selects Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
It's a good pick. You gotta. This is America. You gotta interject some patriotism.
Yep.
Some red, white, and blue loving.
Yep.
I can't say I didn't think about it. I applaud that pick. That is a good one.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the applause. So, who do you got next?
At number 18, we are going to. I've consulted with my team, and speaking of America, I'm gonna have to bring my man Sarge into the fold.
Okay, I'm Sarge surprised he didn't get picked sooner. To be honest with you,
Sarge has got a bright future behind the scenes as well.
Okay,
he could maybe one day become commissioner of WWF Superstars.
Okay,
I think he's got a great he's a great yes man.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe they set him up on television to be like an authority type figure or representative of Jack Tunney's office after WrestleMania 8. Yeah,
really?
He wrestled for a little bit. Yeah, so yeah, that actually works out for you. He wrestled for a little bit, and then I believe they
it was like Adam Pearce before Adam Pearce,
something like that. Yeah, I believe if I'm not mistaken, I think he had that.
Exactly.
So for my next pick here. I'm going to select Reverend Slick.
Ooh, I like that. Good pick.
But he will eventually revert back to being the Doctor of Steezal. And maybe he will guide some careers on this roster here. Maybe we'll see Slick with a Sid Justice.
Ooh. Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Very Who knows? Good.
All right.
Or maybe Slick back with the model Rick Martel. They had a brief run in 1989 as a duo.
All right.
So,
moving on here, I'm going to have to make another, you could almost say, surprising pick. No one can ring them in as new champions like Howard Finkel.
Ooh, okay.
And I need a ring announcer.
Yeah, and all right.
While I am certainly all about female empowerment and Mike McGurk potentially being in that role, I have to go with the brand name of the Fink.
Yes, I mean that makes sense. I'm not going to go the announcer route, but at number 19, I am selecting the Mountie. I need somebody in the mid card. I need somebody to
get your man.
Yep. Yeah. You know, maybe he can revive that rivalry with the Big Boss Man. Maybe we can see something with him, and who knows? Maybe we can see something with him and the Macho Man as the WWF champion. Okay. But yeah.
Fair enough. All right. As we continue building our rosters, I'm gonna have to.
This is the 20th pick, by the way. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. Yep.
A lot of good hands still here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna make a Hall of Famer out of this guy.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick Coco Beware.
All right.
I tell you, okay. I feel like with a little bit of just dust on this guy, He will one day be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Coco, beware. And Frankie. And Frankie's coming.
Frankie's coming. Frankie's the bird. Coming too. We got absolutely. The bird coming. Okay. Absolutely. All right. That's not a bad pick. I can get behind that. I can definitely get behind that. Well, you know, you may have a ring announcer, but there's somebody that needs to make sure that, you know, all the rules are abided by and people are kept in line. And there's only one person that could do that in this world. So with the 20th pick, Wrestling Challenge selects Jack Tunney.
The president of presidents.
The president of the World Wrestling Federation.
Very, very well done. That is a power move, for sure.
Yeah, I had to. I mean, if we didn't establish him as the president for both brands, then I thought, you know what, why not make him exclusive and let superstars have the inmates run the asylum? Maybe that will lead to a Sergeant Slaughter becoming the commissioner over there. Who knows?
You know, we gotta, you know, with folks like Ric Flair and Andre the Giant.
Yep.
We run the shop runs itself.
Yep.
You know, it makes me want to pick Linda, but I don't know if Linda's really ready for.
I don't ever remember seeing Linda McMahon on WWF programming in 1992, but
she's in the pool.
Weird. That is weird.
Pat Patterson's.
Yeah, so is he. Yeah, you know, I saw that.
I'm picking Pat Patterson.
That's your pick. Next pick. We're 21.
He's my booker. He's my producer. He's my right hand man.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So when he comes out and makes the matches, are they going to have to put subtitles out underneath when he talks?
No. He's not like an on-air person.
Oh, he's your actual booker.
Well, you know, he's going to help me put the shows together. He's going to put the wrestling genius at work.
He's going to do the finishes.
He's going to escort Miss Elizabeth down to the ring whenever she shows up for anything.
Okay.
He might have to insert himself as a referee in a match to make sure. You know, he's got to collect that paycheck.
All right.
He's got to get that talent check every once in a while. You know, again, we at Superstars respect the past, and we honor our legends and the people who paved the way, and we allow them to ply their craft every last drop.
Okay. Wow, that was quite the speech you got there. Well, for the 21st pick, I'm going to honor this legend, and I'm going to do right by him, because this individual is not going to his World Wrestling Federation contract is not going to expire, and that is not going to lead to him becoming a regular individual in the world and selling cigarettes illegally for the French Canadian mob. And I'm talking about Dino Bravo.
You just saved a life.
Yes, I just saved a life. Yes, I saved a life.
Will not be brutally
there will not be an episode of Dark Side of the Ring as far as I'm concerned. No.
You know what? That deserves.
I am the reason why Vince McMahon, well, actually, Jack Tunney. Jack Tunney is the one that's keeping Dino on board, and maybe we'll see Dino as like the Buddy Jack Roberts of the natural disasters. He'll be the third natural disaster. Yeah. You know what I mean? He'll be the strong man. You know, maybe he'll fill in when Typhoon wants to go back to being Tugboat, and it's Earthquake and Dino Bravo as a tag team. But yeah, got a little beef with Dino Bravo there. So, 22nd pick is yours, pal.
22nd pick. I'm gonna go with the man who I don't even have something funny to say about this. I'm just picking the Iron Sheik, Colonel Mustafa.
Oh yes, Baba.
Yeah.
Oh yes, I break your back, make you humble. Yeah. So
I'm collecting Baba. The egos. I'm collecting the characters. But for the he's obviously going to start because it is April 6, 1992. He is Colonel Mustafa.
Okay.
And will certainly engineer a cinematic story only the likes of which Paul Levesque would revel in. That will turn him back into the Iron Sheik
we know and love. All right, I like that.
It'll happen in time for WrestleMania 9.
I like that pick. Okay, I like that. We'll see an Iron Sheik resurgence. For the 22nd pick, Wrestling Challenge selects the Barbarian.
Okay.
The Barbarian could eventually cross paths with some of those other Samoan fellas that I have on my roster by the name of Samu and Fatu.
Okay.
Maybe we see an alliance of sorts. Maybe we see them at odds. Who knows? Okay. But the Barbarian has a place on my roster here.
All right. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Barbarian's a good pick.
23 is yours.
23 is mine. And with 23, I'm going to pick Skinner.
Skinner. The Alligator Man.
Yeah, I need a little bit of wacky in there.
Okay. All right. I can respect that. Well, while we're on the wacky board, if you're picking Skinner, Then I'm going with the Repo Man.
Damn it. I should have picked him. Oh, that was a good one. Why didn't I pick Repo Man?
I don't know. But I know why.
Trade for him. I don't, maybe that. Maybe that'll be my steal. We're almost at
I know, we haven't stolen anything yet. Yeah. We haven't stolen each other's picks yet, you know?
Repo Man could be like my Santino or something.
Okay. I like that.
But going with 24.
24?
Again, I need some guys who know how to take bumps, who are eager to learn, who have the opportunity to really hone their craft, are very good athletes, full of youth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Scott Taylor.
Oh, my God. The future Scotty Too Hottie.
Yes.
Well, Scott somebody Taylor. Needs to eat a couple of power bombs from Sid Justice.
I don't got Sid Justice.
I got Sid Justice.
You know,
they
could take some chops from Andre. Yep. You know, maybe he'll bounce around the ring in a dark match with Conan.
Yeah.
He'll be where. He could kind of fit him wherever I want.
Okay.
I like Scott Taylor. He's a well, good utility player.
The 24th pick in my wrestling challenge or WWF mock draft, Wrestling Challenge selects the Brooklyn Brawler.
Okay, absolutely. He's often a man.
The jobber of all jobbers, yeah. Right there.
Yeah, I like that.
Steve Lombardi.
Okay.
Made a living off of making everybody else look good.
Mm-hmm.
So we're down to the last pick here, and there's not much to choose from. So I'm actually pretty pleased with
25. Yeah.
Yeah, 25. We pretty much covered the gamut here. Because some of these folks are associated with others, and mm-hmm. so, yeah. Who do you got?
Yeah, we've really scraped the barrel.
We've here. Scraped the barrel with the 74 that are here.
You know, I'm going to have to go with, well, let's just pat myself on the back with this one. We're going to go with Barry Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz.
Another
he was
reliable hand.
He was one of my picks here, but.
So to round out the roster. And of course, who better to be the last pick for a WWE Superstars than Barry Horowitz?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
He may be off for a few weeks. I think Passover's coming up. But we respect all religious denominations. He can certainly, we'll welcome him back.
Do I know something about that? So a couple of years ago on this feed, Kobe and myself, we used to do a show called Marking Out the Day's Weekend Warriors, and we would recap the episodes of WWF Superstars and WCW Saturday Night on the same day that took place on the same day. Mm-hmm. And Barry Horowitz pulled a Rick Rude before a Rick Rude on the Monday Night Wars.
Did he really?
Barry Horowitz at 11 o'clock in the morning took an ass whooping on WWF Superstars and then later on that night took the same ass whooping on WCW Saturday Night.
Do you remember who he wrestled on each
show? I don't remember who he wrestled on each show. I want to say on Superstars he was in a tag match, and then maybe he was in a singles on Saturday Night or vice versa. I don't recall, but he was a regular on both shows like multiple times during that stretch.
Okay.
Which surprises me, but I guess at that time, because those guys, you know, I don't know what their pay scale was. I would imagine that maybe they're making $500 to $1,000 a shot. You would venture to guess, maybe?
That's probably a lot. That's probably a lot more than we're giving them credit for, to be honest.
Really?
For extra work? I'm not saying they're getting like $50 a hot dog and a handshake.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Or a six-pack and a blowjob is the other expression.
I forgot to pick Mike McGurk.
But I think you know, they're just getting thrown some bucks. You know what I mean? And they got to find their way there.
A few hundred bucks.
I've heard some stories.
Yeah, I heard it. I heard
the
Hardys, like,
when they were doing that work not too long after this.
Yeah.
They were getting $25 to climb in a van with somebody or $100.
Italian Stallion,
yeah,
I think his name
like
was.
That. So I don't think they're $1,000. I mean,
maybe a few hundred bucks if it was, yeah. Like, especially like I used to hear stories that the enhancement talent, like, they'd get a standard pay, and then if they wrestled Beefcake and got the haircut, it was like extra.
Yeah, or if you really got like laid into by like the Legion of Doom,
Yokozuna or something. Yeah,
and say, they, like, hey, thanks for that.
Throw you a few extra. Yeah. You know what I mean? When Yokozuna used to practically sit on these guys' heads. But with that being said, I have the last pick.
At number Mr. Irrelevant of the 1992 WWF draft is...
Harvey Whippleman.
That's a good one.
Now, Harvey Whippleman could easily be a manager, or I could put Harvey Whippleman in the commentary role with Gorilla Monsoon. Maybe Bobby Heenan goes back to managing. Who knows?
Do have a nice conduit, a nice connection to a future electrifying personality.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, Downtown Bruno was very instrumental in making sure young Dewey had a...
And with that, now that we've made our picks, I think we've officially exhausted our opportunities to steal, and I'm not even mad at it.
No, I'm not mad about that either.
Our rosters, and I don't even know if we need a trade. I could look. We could kind of scour our rosters a little bit. But honestly, I'm impressed. I think I should win General Manager of the Year.
Oh, here we go. How about we do this? Okay. Maybe on a future episode. How about we take our rosters, and Dennis and I did this last year. Take our rosters, and we put together our own individual cards with our roster and see what we come up with.
Or I'll see you that idea and raise you. We have a Forbidden Door pay-per-view.
Okay, I like that idea.
So coinciding with Forbidden Door 2024.
Okay, so you know what? Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. Even though we won't watch Forbidden Door 2024,
that is forbidden.
Yeah, we will create our own WWF Forbidden Door of 1992.
Yes.
Later on this year. So yeah, let's do that. I'm all about that. Is there anybody here that you would be interested in? In trading, is there anybody that you wanted that I picked? Or somebody that you really wanted?
I mean, I liked Repo Man, but I don't know if I really wanted it. I don't know if I'm trading anybody.
Who?
I don't know if I'm trading anyone for Repo Man.
Okay.
Even though I like, honestly, if I'm trading for Repo Man, it's like an equal parts trade. It's
so
like,
I'll like probably Skinner, taking Skinner, yeah.
Or like, but I don't like. I'm good with Skinner too. Kern, you know,
yep.
He's gonna be our head coach of the Superstars Performance Center.
Yep.
So you know.
I got the Wrestling Challenge power plant, you know. We're,
yes.
Yeah.
Exactly, you know, and we're gonna recruit the best.
Or the Wrestling Challenge Young Boy Dojo.
Yeah.
You know. Right? Isn't that what it is in New Japan? They have the dojo,
I don't know if that's even what it's called.
But what they call them, the Young Boys or something?
You're a young boy if you're like a rookie.
Okay. I don't know all that.
It's kind of like you're a pro B fireman, right? Mm-hmm. I think.
Okay, fair enough.
I gather that's like the best way to put it.
Fair enough.
Like a young, like not even young, just a rookie or a new cadet, a new training person. You're a young boy.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're good with not even trading. Is there not one? You want me to run down my list, see if there's one person?
Yeah,
you know,
as well for the exercise.
All right. So for Wrestling Challenge, I chose the WWF champion, the Macho Man Randy Savage. I chose Shawn Michaels with Sensational Sherry. I chose the Legion of Doom with Paul Ellering. Sid Justice, Owen Hart, Mr. Perfect, The Natural Disasters, The Head Shrinkers, Lex Luger, The Model Rick Martel, Sean Mooney, Mr. Fuji, The Texas Tornado, The Big Boss Man, El Matador, Papa Shango, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Reverend Slick, The Mountie, Jack Tunney, Dino Bravo, minus the cigarettes, The Barbarian, Repo Man, Brooklyn Brawler, and Harvey Whippleman.
I've got one possible idea.
Okay.
And I don't even know if you'll accept it.
Okay. Well, I'm open to for discussion.
I would trade you Roddy Piper, The Ultimate Warrior, Miss Elizabeth, and a future draft pick in a future WWF draft for the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels.
Ooh.
I'll hear a counter, and if I don't like it, we can walk away. No,
wow, that's a lot for Shawn Michaels. I know you want Shawn and Brett bad. That's like your...
Shawn and Brett, Shawn and Taker, Shawn and Ric Flair.
Yeah, you want that bad, don't you?
I'll take Shawn and Andre.
Mm.
You're like, damn it! I can't compete in the kicking out of two wars.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna turn that one down because I got the rivalry that should have been. I've got Sean and Randy Savage.
Okay, that's fair.
Like,
that's
my...
I mean, those are the high picks, so it's...
Or here's what I can do for you.
Okay.
I can give you... I'll take Miss Elizabeth. Or how about this? I'll give you Owen Hart for Miss Elizabeth.
You got yourself a goddamn
deal. You want to...
I will definitely take that. Sorry, right. Liz.
All right, because I'm
reunited with Randy.
Yeah,
I will take that. Is a
all right. So Miss Elizabeth. Miss Elizabeth is now the fifth pick on for Wrestling Challenge, and you get Owen Hart. So
I love that.
I can accept. You know, I can accept giving away Owen Hart because he can be reunited with his brother Brett, yeah. And maybe.
Ooh, you just gave me a good babyface tag team.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could.
I'm all right with that.
Oh man,
I'm all right with that.
Ric Flair, Owen Hart.
Yeah,
ooh.
I'm all right with that.
Owen Hart, Roddy Piper.
Yep.
Owen Hart, Conan.
Yeah,
dude. That first hour of Superstars Nitro is going to be a banger.
Yeah, I got to live up to Wrestling Challenge Thunder one of these days. You know.
Okay, I like...
Or Wrestling Challenge Rampage. Oh, yeah, nobody watches Rampage. More people watch Thunder than they watch Rampage. Then more people watch Thunder now on the network than they watch Rampage.
Wrestling Challenge Society X.
Oh, God. Wrestling Challenge Underground.
Yeah.
Superstars of Primetime All-American or whatever the fuck.
That's a good trade. I like
so,
that.
All right. So, here's what, so run down your roster one more time. I just ran down mine, so you run down yours.
Bottom. My first pick was Brett. Was the IC champ. Number two is Ric Flair, who is the self-proclaimed real world's champion. I got The Undertaker with Paul Bearer at three. Money Inc. with Jimmy Hart in their tag titles at four. The Ultimate Warrior at five. Nasty Boy 6. British Bulldog 7. Tatanka 8. Roddy Piper 9. Bushwhackers 10. Mean Gene 11. Miss Elizabeth was 12, but we've traded for Owen Hart. She's been sent on her way to be reunited with Randy. 13 is Virgil, 14 is Andre the Giant, 15 is Brutus Beefcake, 16 Beverly Brothers with the Genius, 17 is Conan, 18 is Sergeant Slaughter, 19 Howard Finkel, 20 Coco Beware, 21 Pat Patterson, 22 Colonel Mustafa, 23 Skinner, 24 Scott Taylor, and 25 Barry Horowitz.
Okay. I like it. Got a question before we wrap this up, so... We did not introduce any new championships. Is this something that is open for discussion for our WWF Forbidden Door?
Yeah.
Okay. So we can.
Well, I feel like you're the one that's going to want to do that because you have one title on your show. So you're going to. I feel good with.
Yep.
Even if Ric Flair's title just remains a self-proclaimed title, I still feel good with the IC and the tag
team. Okay. Or it could be a situation where we book we book, you know, possession of the tag team championship, you know, between one of your teams and one of my teams. So, this was a lot of fun. I liked this, and this is going to be we started last year, so it'll be a regular tradition moving forward with these drafts. We'll go back in time and draft ourselves a roster, pick a particular roster. Hell, maybe even do a WCW draft. Who knows? Definitely won't do an AEW draft, but
Thunder,
yeah, there you go. I like
Saturday
that.
Saturday night versus
Power Hour or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, who knows? But yeah. So thank you very much. Oh, before we go, I should say, any thoughts on the upcoming draft? What you want to see? What you think's going to happen? Any surprises?
I've sort of lost hope over the years because I've said for a number of years recently, like, oh, this is the year where they're going to get it right. Like,
yep.
The stars are aligned. Like,
yep, yep.
And I'm always let down tremendously. But I kind of have to revisit that thought process because we're in a new era. We're
yep.
in a new world of WWE and yep. TKO and no Vince McMahon, and it's Paul Levesque's era, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if there's an opportunity to see something different or see new habits created, old habits broken, in terms of what we're used to in, as it relates to the draft, I think there's a tremendous possibility for that. What that could be, I don't know. I've always been a more of a proponent of the idea of these being presented like more like drafts, like mm-hmm. we watch, like the NFL draft or something like that, and incorporating wrestling into that.
Yep.
Some years they did well with that in the earlier years.
Some matches would be four draft picks.
Yeah,
I remember
there is,
that.
There is untapped potential as far as what they could bring back from good years of drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And
things that, again, we're not even thinking about that they might be talking about trying to do, which is like, please. Yeah, absolutely. So I think I don't want to say hopeful. I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll get to see some of that this year again, because of where we are in history right now.
So I'd like to see, I'm hoping to see the presentation look more like a draft, like you said, like
Lee fitting and like,
you know, whether it's like they come out in the state, like I don't want, like the last few years they've done like, you know, SmackDown picks AJ Styles and then they play his music, they show the stats and then like, that's it. Like he doesn't, like the guy doesn't come out. Like
it's like weird.
Yeah. It's just like, I would like to see it where like, maybe they have both, like the entire, you know, both rosters there in the building, or even all three, because I heard NXT is going to be a part of it too. Or NXT, maybe you leave them remote at the Performance Center. Which
in some of the better, like I think the 2016 draft,
they did something like that.
The brand split when it was Shane and Stephanie.
Yeah,
that's what they did. Like Alexa Bliss got picked.
Yeah,
you know they're cheering on from the Performance Center, and
like I'd like to see something where like let's say there's a talent that's been out of action for a while, and they get, you know, they get drafted, but they're not in the building, like they're via satellite at home,
yeah,
you know, kind of thing, kind of like what you see with some of the athletes that don't make the the physically there at the draft, they're at home with like their family, like maybe like, you know, let's say like Sheamus just came back the other night, but if Sheamus hadn't come back, maybe he'd be sitting on his couch with his wife waiting to figure out where he's gonna get drafted, something like that, you know.
I think there's definitely things like that I want to see too. I agree on that. I think there's a lot of potential.
I wouldn't mind seeing matches like determine draft picks. So, for instance, if like two guys wrestle, like let's say there's a, like, for instance, I'll throw them out again. AJ Styles and LA Knight more recently just had a rivalry. They had a match at WrestleMania. They have a match on SmackDown or whatever. And it's for, you know, the winner gets to choose which brand they want to go on, instead of the actual brand choosing them, sort of thing. I think
they can definitely mix it up. Like, I've thought of things like that in my head before, where, like, you got a Raw guy and a SmackDown guy, and the winning brand gets a pick.
Or,
like you said, you know, two guys already kind of in the thralls of a feud, and they get to pick where they get to go.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, just, you know, I know they could do a battle royal and kind of do something.
It's
just a whole... It could almost be its own premium live event. If they really kind of put some resources into it. Not that it needs to be. I like it on the Friday, Monday thing. That's cool.
Whatever. Yeah, it kind of like gives the television, it gives you something to look forward to for two nights.
Again,
you know,
it's a lot to do probably on one show, where it's not so quick to make it
apparently.
So, but yeah, expanding off of the idea of like matches determining picks, I think is a good place to start. Because we'd seen it before, and I think you can definitely evolve that premise over the course of a show.
Yep.
With different stipulations and all the various matches. So I think hopefully we see some of that too. That would be really cool.
But anything you're hoping for, you're expecting in terms of like certain picks, like, or maybe like somebody breaking out and like getting drafted, and then like it launches them to something, you know?
I honestly,
like almost like splitting up a team, kind of like what they did with Miz and Morrison that year.
I kind of think, I mean, this might seem obvious. It's not really what you're asking, but I kind of think Cody's going to get drafted to Raw, and the Judgment Day might go to SmackDown. I think you might see that kind of reverse.
Okay.
As far as breakouts go, I think maybe by virtue of the draft, maybe Dom is left alone and he's no longer, the Judgment Day is, he gets drafted on his own, or the Judgment Day doesn't include him.
Yep.
And maybe Dom gets a little bit of solo time, which would be kind of a big thing with Rhea being gone.
Maybe he gets maybe that solo draft eventually leads to him getting picked up by like Santos Escobar and Legado de Fantasma. Yeah. You know, they had that match together. So
like his career will kind of take a turn into it, at least maybe in the time while Rhea's gone, especially where he can do something. To kind of stand out a little bit more, as not that he hasn't already, but it's like, all right, let's keep progressing. I could see that. I think
there needs to be some emphasis more on the women.
Yeah, I think you could see. I don't know if Damage Control will be broken up yet.
No, I don't see them.
Like hair, not that I mean. Honestly, I think the way stories are going,
I definitely want to see more emphasis on damage control, but like at this point, I'm kind of like, show me what you got. You know what I mean? There's some expectations. Like, I feel like with Raw going to Netflix, Cody's going to be on Raw. Like, I feel like Raw might get stacked a little bit.
I feel like
based on
where they're headed, yeah. I could see that. I could also see, this is based on what we just saw recently at WrestleMania, but I could also see Roman Reigns becoming a free agent.
Oh yeah, I
think I think that because feels of
like it's implied.
I think even though like he will have a bloodline centric focus on his next, at least in my opinion, his next story when he eventually comes back, I think he's going to have that like Brock Lesnar type of role where he's part time. And speaking of Brock, even though his legal situation hasn't really been clarified, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets picked or this is how they reintroduce him back to television.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the circumstances surrounding all of that. I just know that they've mentioned him a lot more on television recently, you know, whereas like Vince McMahon's a dirty word now, you know, you kind of have to figure that like whatever involvement or lack thereof he had in that whole situation, that's been clarified. Or it's getting there or something like that. You know what I mean?
There might be some progress.
They seem to be more. I mean, I just noticed on their social media they're showing a lot more Brock Lesnar content.
Mm-hmm.
Top 10 video and Brock's included in a few of them, kind of thing. I have a feeling this might be a way to reintroduce him into the mix. But the girls, I feel like. I have a feeling they're going to go the basic route where they move this person here, they move that person there. We might get to see one or two new matchups. Maybe we'll see Damage Control and Bayley move over to Raw because it will be fresh to the Raw audience or whatever. I don't know. But I just feel like the girls will definitely need more emphasis. Jade, I think, will be probably the number one female pick. In my opinion,
that's a good call
for one of the brands.
That would at least kind of boost her a little bit, even more, kind of to the not the character she's developing, but she's being seen as like a free agent, as a commodity, as a prospect. And if you're kind of in that mold, you're like a draft pick, the first pick. I could definitely see that. I also think like going back to the whole like I said, I think Raw's going to get a good healthy weight of star power because of where it's going to land with Netflix. SmackDown's going to kind of be the B show again.
Yep.
You're going to see the scaled disparity, but I think it's also going to be, I think it's going to be done the right way though, because Raw people are going to be out behind a paywall on Netflix, because USA is going to kind of be like the B show with SmackDown, right? CW is going to be on over the air television with NXT,
yeah.
Which is also, been I was just going to get to known that. As a place that we're, where there's a lot of crossover.
Yep.
So I think we're going to see a lot of crossover on NXT, more than we've seen before, in healthier doses with
and
more
SmackDown
regularity.
SmackDown might benefit from that.
SmackDown and Raw. You're going to want to plug Raw.
Correct.
To over-the-air television viewers. And I think you might see a lot more of those instances where talent, particularly women even, are going to show their face on NXT, boost that brand a little bit, get that exposure, kind of start plugging and pushing people to watch the other shows, which are obviously the better premium shows.
Yep.
The North American women's title that's been introduced, whether it's the first champion, second, or third, I'm willing to bet that's going to be a main roster person holding that title, or at least competing for it to get some of that crossover.
Okay.
That
sounds like a role for like a Natalya.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I just see a more fluid relationship between the three shows, with NXT kind of being like the common ground for both Raw and SmackDown people to migrate to more regularly.
The open door policy.
To help feed the others and kind of subtly cross-promote across the brands. So I think that's kind of the in and out, open door, feet, you know, just relationship.
Who from the main roster? Because like, I think like obviously from NXT, Carmelo Hayes, Ilya Dragunov, they're probably going to head up to the main roster.
Right.
Whether it's Raw or SmackDown, whatever. I think Trick Williams will eventually keep on NXT for a while because
he sucks and he needs work. And,
yeah, apparently, according to Meltzer, but who from the main roster do you see going there? All right, couple questions. Who from the main roster do you see going there that's going to help beef up NXT? And who from the main roster do you see going there that could use the NXT rub or use that platform to almost kind of in the way that Drew McIntyre did when he left WWE and he went to go learn another hold, as JR would say, and then came back? Like, now they have that within their system. So is there someone on the main roster that hasn't been used up to their potential that maybe going to NXT is going to help them and then eventually come back to Raw or SmackDown? Kind of like what they do with Baron Corbin. I already know one person you're probably going to say that is in that fits that mold. Nakamura?
Yeah, that's a good pick. But here's the thing. I don't necessarily know. Here's the thing. I think some people will be drafted to NXT in that vein.
Yep.
Others won't be. Like I said, I think the others will just be crossed over in the way that they've done in the last couple of years.
So like with Final Testament, with Karrion Kross and AOP or now. Becky
Lynch was there. Yep. Or, you know, like, I think
they go in there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you'll see little things like
that. It reminds me a lot, not to interrupt, but it reminds me a lot of when ECW and WWF in the 90s had that working relationship. Yes. Where guys, NXT kind of is that.
Yes,
that,
I think
that space, that platform for the main roster.
I think you'll get more than we're probably prepared to know as far as actual people drafted, like a Shinsuke per se, right? You'll see maybe four or five substantial main roster people, not Seth Rollins.
No.
You know what I mean? But you'll see those, the elk of a Shinsuke, the floundering veteran proven wrestlers move over there on an official capacity.
Yeah.
But then you'll get you might get a Seth Rollins for a couple weeks on NXT when he comes back.
Yeah.
You might get a Cody once or twice here and there.
Finn Balor. Yeah.
Damian Priest.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You might get we will get those along with that to make that show almost feel like a main roster show in a lot of respects. And I think that's what the draft's going to help set up.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like Seth Rollins and Shinsuke on NXT would be kind of cool.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think there's going to be a lot more fluidity to the rosters, but there's still going to be brand divisions.
Okay.
And there's going to be kind of like internal rules as far as like, all right, Raw and SmackDown may not cross, but SmackDown and NXT can cross. Raw and NXT can cross. Maybe NXT can cross with you. Like NXT, I feel like, is the hub.
Yep.
The Grand Central Station of sorts, where people come in and out of.
Yeah.
And then Raw and SmackDown are your
main.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to it from that respect as to what it could be.
Okay.
I don't want to hype it up too much because I've been let down year after year.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, we've gone down the rabbit hole a little bit. So, who knows? It could just be just like last year where they bring a bunch of legends in to announce the draft picks. Knows?
I'm looking forward to it. I think it has the potential. And again, it's important to recalibrate the rosters a little bit every year, especially after, you know, the momentum that we've come out of with WrestleMania. So it's important to keep it up and, you know, keep the buzz buzzing, I like to say.
I like it. Well, with that being said, the buzz on this is coming to a close. Thank you once again for helping make this happen. And look forward to the sequel to this. The WWF Forbidden Door sometime in June. We'll get together and we'll create our own WWF Forbidden Door card for 1992 as a precursor to SummerSlam 1992. That should be a lot of fun. Thank you all for pressing play, hitting download, liking, subscribing, rate, and reviewing this show. Find us on Retromania over on Podbean by searching Retromania with a W or Kicking Out at 2. That's going to do it for this episode. And with that being said, I think it's about time we officially put this draft down.